2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. If I can have several men help me, that would be nice. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll get to it. All right, let's stand, please. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is we'll get done by 7 o'clock or so. The bad news is this is half of the sermon. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this specifically with Brian in mind. When I came to this church at age 39, I could not have preached what I'm going to preach. There are things you learn through life that you cannot learn any other place. So tonight, we're going to begin a discussion that will last 2 weeks. If you're not going to be here next Sunday night, I would at least ask you to have the character to listen to it online. Because I'm going to talk about something that's very important. And I'm beginning to realize, in case you don't know, I guess only Tim and I have eyes to see. Some people really don't get much. See, everybody in this room assumes that everybody in this room gets what we're about. I don't think that at all. Most people, if I wasn't here, could do any number of stupid things. Did you just hear me? Now, some of that is a pastor has a responsibility to lead. I'm going to begin as we read this text by asking you a question. It's a hard question. If someone said, you go to Lake County Baptist, that's a traditional church, what would you say? Tim would say, amen. What I find funny about that statement is I'd look at them and say, if you go to church, you go to a traditional church too. You just have different traditions. But there's a lot of fools running around out there, including pastors, including people that have been through this ministry, that don't have a clue who they are. And you're just sitting there, you doing what? What? And why? Because they really don't understand. So tonight and next Sunday is 5 points, 5 ideas. By the way, they're going to be so obvious that, they're obvious to me, that I want you to actually understand them. Tonight's just 2 ideas, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, and anytime you see a therefore, you're assuming that he's concluding something he wants you to draw some conclusions from. And he's just talked about what? The gospel. He's talked about election, being chosen to salvation, called by the gospel. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the what? Which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, this is obviously the first century. This is obviously Paul speaking. Pastor Koch answered a question. By the way, the question is impossible to answer because traditions are not all equal. But some traditions, you better believe you better hold on to them. I'm going to say this and then we're going to pray. I asked a friend of mine recently, Willow Creek is without a pastor. It was the largest church in America for many years. If they called a person like me to go to that church, my first step would be to what? We would start bringing the Bible back to the church, which means within the first month, the church would shrink down to about 500 from 15 to 20,000. Hello? But by the way, we're the traditional church. They don't have traditions. Actually, they do. They have the tradition of no Bible. That started in the 1980s. How about women running the church service? Is that okay? Some of you aren't sure. Yeah, these are the problems that we have when we're not sure who we are. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to begin. Some of this will be funny. Christy, you have the first three slides? Maybe I can get somebody to laugh in the first one. I'm going to laugh because I think they're funny. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Bless our time together. May this be a good night in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On our 20th anniversary, Jenny and I... Did you put something up there? Christy. Frenchie, if you're going to do it... Okay. All right, we'll start again. On our 20th anniversary, my wife and I went to Scotland, and we tried to look for a church. And by the way, if it's hard to find a church in America, go to England. Most churches in England, Willow Creek would be a right-wing conservative church. They're horrible. We found in the city of Inverness, we found a church. It was called the Reformed Baptist Church of Inverness. We finally found it. We drove to it on Sunday morning. We got there. I don't know if they had Sunday school first, but there were people already there. We got there, and we walked inside. And the first thing you notice, and by the way, you don't notice that you have traditions until you do what? Visit some other place. When we got there, the first thing Jenny noticed was all the women were wearing hats. Well, you know, you don't want to offend anybody. I don't have a problem with women wearing hats. Not an issue to me one way or another. The church wore hats. A lot of the more reformed kind of churches in the past used to do so. Why don't we wear hats? Answer the question. It's our traditions not to. Can I have an amen? See, you think it's the Bible. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Our traditions that we don't. They have a tradition that did. But that's not the reason. It was a fun. Went into the church. This is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to go to a church where when I get done with the church service, I'm not angry. That's all I'm looking for. Because most of the time, I am infuriated. We went to a church in Stirling, Scotland, that I came as close as I've been to just getting up and walking out. She restrained me. But the church had something else. When you went to the church, nobody talked. When you went into this place, what did they call it? The sanctuary, thank you. They actually had a little track, and this is what the track said. I still remember, 1999, it said this. When you come into the service, talk to God. During the service, let God talk to you. After the service, talk to other people. So, brother, when you went to that church service, it was silent. People weren't chit-chatting. Was that good or bad? It's a tradition that they have. We have the other tradition, talking. Some of you don't talk back because I don't know, maybe my questions are too hard. But we have a question of interaction in this church. Part of that's me. Well, let's go to a different direction. This last year, I went to India. My first service there wasn't supposed to be my first service there. I get there. We drive all night. We get to within an hour or so of where we're going. I think it's Vijayawada, where we finally arrived. You don't know because you were lost in transportation someplace in other countries. I'm with one of his brothers, Moses, and finally he calls the dad in the middle of the night and says, you know, we're just not going to get all the way there, so we rented a hotel, and the next morning got up, had a nice breakfast, and And then we took off. And about halfway down to where this church is, Moses is talking to his dad the whole time. I don't like those conversations. And the dad says, why don't you come past our church? We're having a New Year's service at some church out in the middle of the woods someplace. We drove up in weird places and we found this church. And they're feeding the whole community because that's what they do at New Year and Christmas time. And they preach evangelistically. I get there and the dad looks at me and says, you're preaching. Thank you. And you don't have a pulpit, you're just standing there. And it's like, was I ready to preach? The answer is, no, I was not. Did I preach? Yes, I did. Well, I preached more in that 10 days than any place I've ever preached in my life. It's even worse in the Philippines, mainly because I couldn't tell his dad no. In the Philippines, I'll tell people no. But my first week, is it in Vijayawada where your dad, all the churches are named Bethel Baptist, correct? No, I don't understand that, but you can explain that at another time. I go to one of the churches, and your brother Luther is the pastor there. And I meet one of the deacons, and the deacon is at all the main meetings. Every time we have a meeting, he's there. He's an older gentleman. He's a very nice gentleman. I'm with him a lot of different times through the week till we come to the very December 31st, is that what it is, the New Year's Eve service. And I see him up on the platform, and a young lady that I've seen at several places singing, she's sitting there talking to him, and I walk up to him, and I say, are you guys related? And she smiles, and he smiles, and she says, yeah, he's my grandfather. I didn't know that they were related. Why? Because in India, they have another custom. The women don't sit on this side. They sit on this side. And the men sat on this side, and you have no idea who's related to whom. We showed the picture. I want to show you the picture of these people. Oh, we have to work on it up here now. I got to show the picture of the grandpa and the daughter. The projector's not functioning. Well, I had something funny tonight, and it's not very funny at all. Thank you. That's not the reason I wanted to show it. I had that picture, and I have a couple others. By the way, Christy, if we can't get it within 30 seconds, have a seat. It's not important. You understand? It's a sign that we're wasting time. All right, go ahead and show me the second picture now. That's not a picture of them either. Go ahead and show the next one, Christy. That's the grandpa and that's the daughter. Now, why did I show you that picture? Because I met both of those almost at every service. She would come with groups and sing. He was the grandfather, but that's not the part that blew me away. My last service there, Ezra, I go back to that church, and I'm talking to grandpa, and the daughter walks up, and I looked at her, and I said, do your parents come here? She looked at somebody, waved them over. Mom and dad came. She had a sister. Her grandpa was there, this man, and his wife, and her mom's mom and dad. The whole family was there, but the problem is, when the men sat on this side and the women sat on this side, you don't know who's married to whom. It's called what? Tradition. Is it a bad tradition? Let's go back and see that picture of Dada again. Oh, I like that picture. Okay, you can turn it off now. Traditions. Now, I have in your notes something important. Most Americans don't think we have any traditions. Actually, there are Baptists, and I don't want to be cruel, so I'm not going to mention names, but anything to do with the right side of fundamentalism will actually get up and tell you we are anti-traditions. You do realize that's just another form of? Yes. Everybody has traditions. Get something out of order and see if people don't get angry real quick. You know, it's our traditions. Everybody has them. So I have in your notes, number one, we all have traditions. Some of them are known, some of them are unknown, some of them are admitted, some of them are what? Hidden. We actually have good ones, bad ones. That's the ones we want to get rid of. And we have indifferent ones. By the way, is it good or bad to have women and men separated? Now, see, in our environment, you know what I like? I like to see this. What am I seeing? A family together. But in other cultures, they don't like the family. They like the men and the women separate. The worst kind is when the kids don't sit with the parents and the kids play, and that happens in a lot of churches. That's a tradition, too. Now, I'm just going to say this. Everybody has traditions. Lake County Baptist Church, what time do we start on Sunday night? I think it's in your notes, isn't it? Actually, that's not totally correct. We start at 1800 hours, but we also have Lake County Baptist Part 2. And that starts about 7:45 at Culver's. Some of you do not know we have that service because you go home and do whatever you do at home. Is that true? Do we have a second service at Culver's? Sometimes half of the church is there. Sometimes just a few people. But we normally have one. Now, I went and grew up at First Baptist Church of Field, and do you know what time services started on Sunday night? The time our church service gets over, we began, 7:30 at night, 17:30. Why? We were farmers. I wonder if they still do that, because people aren't farmers anymore. My guess is they still do. Why? Tradition. Things get stuck in the way they happen. Is that good or bad? I don't know. But everybody has traditions. You cannot get away from traditions. If you read the Sword of the Lord, so now I'm going to make something specific, and I hope you never read it, never see it, never get around it. At the very top, John L. Rice, being very clever back in the day, said this, we're against modernism or liberalism. I wrote it down, I think. We're against modernism, worldliness, and formalism, which meant traditions. But the funny thing is, this morning we did not have an invitation. I want anybody in this room to show me in the Bible where it mentions an invitation. But in a church that has 62 verses of invitation, we hate traditions. Try not to have the 62 verses. They'll call you liberal. They'll say you don't love God, you're not interested in people. Folks, everybody has traditions. Everybody. That's a given. Can we all agree to that? Can I have an amen? We all have them, no matter who we are. So if you go to the contemporary church, they have their traditions too. First of all, instead of having everybody out there is dark. All the lights on the platform. Usually they have a circular or semicircular platform. They have to have people up there. I'm not sure what this means. I've never read it any place. You got to close your eyes and squint too. Actually, I do know what it means. Watch a rock concert. Looks very similar. Number two. All we're going to talk about for the rest of the night is this statement. We not only all have traditions, we all actually have more than one kind of tradition. So if I asked, is this a traditional church and is that a good thing? Pastor Koch says that's a good thing because he's focusing on certain traditions. If I focus on certain other traditions, I would say that's a bad thing. So it's according to what you mean by traditions, because traditions are of more than one kind. In your notes, 2 Thessalonians, brethren, stand fast. That is a second person plural. All of you, stand fast. Second person plural again, and hold, all of you, hold the traditions, paradosis, those things that are handed down. There are things that are handed down to you, he says, which you have been taught, whether by word, meaning in his public speaking, or by his epistles, the ones that he had already written. So that's one kind of tradition. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 uses the same language. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition, not according to the tradition which he received of us. Mark 7, look at me please, has a very different kind of tradition. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I said it to Frenchie. Probably shouldn't. When I ask people to come to the funeral next Saturday, I already know there will be a third of our church that won't be within 100 miles of that funeral. Because they don't do anything that doesn't have something to do with themselves. Where do they do that? That's their tradition. Their tradition is the number one person in their life is right here. By the way, there's a lot of bad traditions, folks. Some of us still have them. I won't break any of those habits. As a pastor, you give up trying to change people. What you try to do is get folks saved and new people and get them pointed in a direction because the other folks keep doing what they have always done. Here's the bad traditions. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Now, folks, this is not talking about when you tell your children to go wash your hands. Or as my mother would say, go wash your hands in the sink. This is not talking about using soap. This is talking about ceremonies. Got it? He goes on to say, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off ceremonially, they don't eat. Holding the tradition of whom? Not the scripture, not the apostles, not the prophets, but the people that had gone before them. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Please look at me. Do we have traditions that are wrong? My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, many years ago, working with a Christian college ministry in South Carolina, the Bible Bust, went to a church called Welcome Baptist Church. This is not religion. At Welcome Baptist Church, you were welcome as long as you were not black. I don't care how many King James Bibles you hold up and praise God with. I don't care how, look at me, I don't care how conservative your music is. You reject the Word of God without blinking. When I was down, the last time I saw a lady that founded this church, Mrs. Askew, the church she was in Greenville were still discussing whether they would let blacks come to their church. You say, that's an abomination. Yes, it is an abomination. But the abomination is most of us don't recognize the difference between biblical tradition and the foolishness we have grown up around. I have people here travel every weekend. After a while, I think Sunday must be the day of travel. But they're Christians. It's their tradition. Sundays are good for traveling. What's the purpose of talking? They're not here today. Of course not. They're traveling. They're doing things. You say, who are you talking about? Anybody. Folks, there comes times when you realize we've developed traditions in our home, in our life, that are contrary to Scripture. And your point is, Pastor Warren? In your notes, before we can even have a discussion concerning tradition, traditions and traditionalism, we must do what? We got to figure out what we're talking about. I give you a continuum, and when I say a continuum, I want you to look at me. These, I have them is like this. I cannot do it on the chart because I'm not good enough with the computer. I have them in boxes, but they are not ironclad boxes. Look up here. They tend to blur into one another. So sometimes it's real hard to know exactly, is this biblical or is this applying the scripture? Is this applying the scripture or is this more cultural? Is this cultural or is this more rebellion? These things blur to some degree, okay? But I'm going to give you, this is Ralph Warren's terminology. There's at least four kinds of tradition. On the far right, there is what I simply call apostolic tradition, which is the teaching and practice of what? The scriptures. And in that, we allow no change. You can never, by the way, friend, look up here. The largest church in the Chicagoland area was Willow Creek. The pastor did not bring a Bible to church. He did not read from the Bible. By definition, is it a church? Why didn't people have a problem with that? We don't want to be part of a traditional church. By the way, I don't ever want to go to a church that doesn't open the scripture. That's part of being a church. That's the nature of being a church. You see, there are certain traditions you cannot change. You cannot change. Please look at me, friend. The doctrines of the scripture have been paradosis. We'll look at it in a moment or next week. It's been handed down to us. We have the scripture, the teachings of scripture, and the practices of scripture. We cannot change those. Closely connected to those, and you'll notice that I make these boxes out of proportion. I think the two on the right cannot be tinkered with. One not at all, and the other one very little. I call it application traditions, and we'll explain what that means. It's either no change or what I would call very slow change. It's when churches, cultures, countries take the truths of Scripture and apply them. You should be very, very, very slow to change those application traditions. The biggest part is in the middle, is what I would call, and I'm using very precise language, non-biblical. Do you recognize if you look at the fourth side, unbiblical and non-biblical is not the same? Yes? Unbiblical is something that's against the scripture. Non-biblical simply means the Bible doesn't talk about it. For instance, should men and women sit together? That's just not a biblical issue. If I did it in America, would it be wise, Cliffy? If an American comes into a church and men are on one side and women on the other side, what's their first reaction? Weird. Yes? They don't feel comfort. But in India, because people tend to be segregated that way in school, every place. Is that right, Ezra? It's kind of natural, isn't it? How does it feel for you to walk in here and you're sitting by your wife? And in India, they would say, you go to this side and you go to that side. It's different, isn't it? Is it bad or good? You see, it's culturally oriented. But even those things, as I say in your notes, even though I think this is part of the biggest group, I think we can change. But this is Pastor Warren's opinion. Change ought to be very slow and careful. Very slow and careful. Even those. When I went to Romania, I'm assuming some of you know this, in Romania, most of the Baptist churches, men are on one side, women are on the other. So we had bonehead Americans that went there. What's the first thing they tried to change? Why? Does it hurt anything? And it's normal and natural in that culture. So for me, guess what I would do if I was pastoring there? Split it up. Because why? It's part of the culture. And it's not offensive to anything as far as being a Christian. On the left side are those that are are anti-biblical, are anti-gospel traditions. And I would say those we must change. Anything that's anti-gospel, unbiblical, must be changed. Well, what are the apostolic traditions? And folks, I'm not going to read the same verses again. Look at 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Here is, so when we ask, Pastor Warren, are we a traditional church? Well, I hope we have the traditions of Scripture. I hope, hey, look up here. I hope that if we could transport back 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, if I could transport you back to Benjamin Keats's church in England, or William Kiffin in the 1600s, I would hope what you hear and what you do would be very similar to what those people did. Why? Because the church isn't complex. What is Christian worship? Reading the Scripture, explaining the Scripture, applying the Scripture, praying, giving, singing, yes? Baptizing, taking the Lord's Supper. I would hope it'd be very similar. They might sing with a funny accent, but it'd still be similar. When I go to Ezra and I was at your dad's setting, it was different. Now, here's the funny part. I'm thinking about instituting this next week. I'm going to let you sit where you want, but we're going to remove the chairs and you're going to sit on the floor. Ezra? And the people, the women sat on the floor 3, 4, 5, 6 hours in a row. And you don't see hundreds of people up and up and back and forth and back. They're just sitting there. I don't see as many people sleeping either. Apostolic tradition. In the early 1980s, the contemporary church dropped reading the Bible, dropped teaching the Bible, dropped even carrying the Bible. They brought in all kinds of funky music, sometimes even secular music. They were disobeying apostolic tradition, the teaching that was handed down to us through the Scripture. How about application teaching? I've already said that either it should not be changed or changed very, very slowly. Let's look at this. Go ye therefore. We have obligations to go and to teach. The word there, the verbal form, is the word we get disciple from. It means to make disciples. It's the kind of teaching at the beginning that makes someone a follower of Christ. So it's saying we're to go into all the world and we're to make disciples, make people followers of Christ. That's the initial teaching of the gospel. And then we're to what? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we're to teach, the word we get didactic from. We're then to teach them, the same group of people, to observe or to keep all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we have obligations. Application tradition, you can turn to the backside. In the backside, I say this. We have now moved from the what. We have been handed to us the apostolic tradition. Application is now taking the apostolic tradition and applying it. I think we rarely ever change that. I say this, we have moved from the what, meaning the doctrines and the teaching, to the how. So, look at me. And you probably want to write some of this down, because actually I would like some of us to actually understand what I'm saying. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how to do this. We apply this. So, guess what we do? We have Sunday school. Yes or no? It's graded to whom? To the age. Why? Because we're assuming that a 2- and 3-year-old can't understand what a teenager can. Yes, we do. Why? Because it's application. Should we all of a sudden, and by the way, there's churches, there's a movement, it's been around 10 or 15 years, that says we no longer have Sunday schools. Everybody comes into the adult service. I know why they're doing it. Why are they doing it? Somebody raise your hand and tell me, please. Could be. There's another big reason. Anybody know? Jim? Maybe? Yes? They're trying to keep the kids. And by the way, here's the biggest problem. We already have adjusted. You just don't know because you don't remember what I did when I came here. None of you remember. Do you not know how we have nuanced because kids were growing up going to Sunday school and junior church and having what kind of music? Rock music. So what happened is the kids then grew up and they didn't like to come to church because what they had learned in Sunday school was different. So what do we do in this church? Have you not figured out what we do? The kids are in church to the last possible moment. You don't even remember that it was different when I came here. You have no idea. You don't even know why I did it, frankly. I did it because I want our kids to sing exactly what kind of music? What we sing. All right. What else? Well, we have a thing called Awana. Why? Is there a biblical command, thou shalt go into all the world and have Awanas? Jim says, amen. By the way, what's Awana? It's a way we apply what? Teaching our kids, memorizing scripture. You say, do we have to have it? No, but I would tell you what, I would rarely ever quit something. What are you going to replace it with? You know what you're going to replace it with? Nothing. Churches all over this area, including people that I love, went to a church, didn't have a big crowd on Sunday night, so what do? They drop. Do you ever get Sunday night back? When are you going to talk about what we're talking about tonight? You have to have services where you have enough time to talk about things. Friend, there are things that, I'm not saying these are as important as apostolic tradition, but they're very, very close. They're what our kinds of churches have been doing for 400 years. You just don't throw that away because, well, you're a traditional church. Yes, we are traditional, apostolic, and applying the apostolic truth. Wednesday night Bible study, missions. A family member, I better narrow it down. A family member, it's a missionary. One of the churches that he went to became contemporary. It's closed now, of course. It decided to become contemporary. When it became contemporary, the second thing it did was drop missions. I'm like, well, man, if your church was so big and so great and so wonderful and having so many people saved, why aren't you supporting more missionaries? Why do we support missions? Because the Bible what? Bible commands it, and it's our way of taking that truth and applying it. Folks, you don't change those kind of things. We have other places, working on the base, Bible studies in homes. We sing hymns. We sing a lot of hymns. You realize, folks, we sing 4 hymns as a church. Plus, we have congregation. We have a choir in the morning. We have a special. We sing one after. We do about 8 different songs. Some of you wonder, if you have a mind and you can do mathematics, you can realize 30 minutes or more of our service is singing. It's part of what we do. Do we have to do 8 songs? When I came here my first Sunday, you wouldn't know this because I was an outsider. When the service was over, everything just stopped. I remember I was like, just stopped. What do? Well, we put music at the beginning, we put music at the end, a closing hymn. All of this was not an accident. There's other reasons I did some of that. Giving, baptizing, and on. Everybody understands. There's apostolic tradition, and very closely connected is how you apply that. To drop Sunday school, to drop Awana, to drop Sunday night, to drop Wednesday night. I mean, there's guys that the first thing they do is they drop every single service. The pastor speaks one time a week. Well, I would tell him you need to get a life and a job. Number 3. Cultural traditions. Well, friend, there's lots of cultural traditions. When I went to India, Ezra, you didn't tell me that everybody takes their shoes off before they go into the service. So you go up to the door, no matter which door in the building, and there's a stack of shoes, smelly shoes. And that's really interesting. Now, I'm going to say this. God bless the folks from India. But if you move to Wisconsin in January, you're not taking your shoes off when you come in. Is it okay to take your shoes off? I guess. Is it cultural? Yes. I know there's churches in the East. Tim, did your Korean church did that too at the time? Took the shoes off. Wow. I just think how cold these floors get with no shoes on. Fawn would be an ice cube. She'd be frozen stiff. Jim would have to just lay her down in the pew, one piece. Is that a tradition, yes or no? By the way, why do you wear shoes in the church? It's just cultural. We normally do. How do you know? By the way, if you ever went to a Filipino house in our church and you're trying to visit the Filipino house and you're driving down the road and you're looking, you don't look for the Filipinos, you look for the front porch. Because in the front porch, you're going to see 300 pair of shoes. That's the Filipino house. Right, Dada? I mean, it's just different. No one ever takes their shoes off in our house. Now, on the farm, you would take certain items off. My sister actually built her house in a way where the washer and dryer in a bathroom, when you walk in the house, if you remember from the garage, that was built on purpose because being on the farm, you don't want to bring certain things in the house. Get rid of that quick. How about multiple services? On Sunday, we have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Many countries, you go to Haiti, Cassie's thinking of moving back to Haiti. They have one service. All day service. Is there does it make a difference if we come for Sunday school, Sunday morning, go home, come back? Or just do, the answer is, that's cultural. If you were in a place where you didn't have transportation, guess what you would do? You'd have a long service. If you're in a place like us, we have transportation. But if you remember back when gas got to be $4 a gallon, I was seriously considering taking Sunday night and bringing it to right after Sunday morning. Just money. There's no need to waste God's money. Fortunately, gas hasn't been that bad recently. Evangelistic service. In America, most of the time, evangelism, are your more evangelistic services are Sunday morning. In England, they're Sunday night. Strangest thing to me in the world. We never get visitors on Sunday night, but in some countries, that's when visitors come. Which should you do? Whichever one works. That's a cultural issue. You could also, by the way, I think most of you know, I don't think many people get saved in a church service anymore. I think most people get saved how? Person to person and small groups. This is what I recommend for you. But by the way, here's our problem. Here's where our traditions become a problem. If you're a person that checks boxes, do you know yourself? You're not going to have a special Bible study in your house because that would mean your house would get messed up. People would be there. What would you do? They might get your bathroom dirty. Hello? How many Bible studies do we have in this church? I think I can add them on one finger. How many times have I asked other people to start some? I'm not going to do it. It's not my job. By the way, we have bad culture too. We're very individualistic. Some of us can't wait to get home and watch television. That's our entire existence. All right. How about languages? What languages should we use? Pastor Chuck Ells, good friend of mine. He's no longer pastor right now, by the way. He has resigned from both churches, but both churches he pastored were Swedish churches. And when I preached for him many years ago, there were still many people that spoke Swedish. And in up until the 1960s, the minutes in the church were still written in Swedish. Can you believe that? What language should we use? I've had people ask, what language do we use at Lake County? And I say, my bad English. That's what we use. How about unbiblical or anti-biblical traditions? Do me a favor, turn back to the front page. I don't want to lose anybody. I actually want you to learn the ideas. We all have what? Do we all have traditions? Is there any such thing as a church with no traditions? It's impossible. You have some kind of traditions. We all have more than one kind of tradition. What I want us to recognize is the four big kinds. The two more or less should stay the same. One absolutely, even application more or less. Some of the cultural issues that are not biblically oriented can change. They're neither here nor there. Friend, if I can say this to you, I wouldn't have a problem with stopping a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service if I could get more people into individual small group Bible studies. Because I have learned something. Some people can come to church for decades and not have a clue what the pastor teaches. I don't know why. I don't know if we're not capable of learning or we're so used to checking off boxes. We sleep through things. Sometimes I'll ask, what did I preach on this morning? And they're like, and you think this morning was like 200 years ago. You know, Trinity? Mm-hmm. Why? Because I think that some of things are cultural. And I think today's age, people do better in small groups or individually. So, apostolic, application, cultural, back page, unbiblical or anti-biblical traditions. I'm not going to read the Mark 3, 7 again. We've already read it. Look at Colossians 3. Where there is neither Greek nor what? Circumcised nor uncircumcised. Barbarian, which meant someone that didn't have Greek culture or language, which meant hillbilly, hick, hayseed, from the province, whatever term you want to use. You know, look at me, people. Those people. And then, of course, I've said many times, and the Scythian was whoever the group was that was worse than them. The Scythians were from the steppes of Russia, and Herodotus. He has whole sections on the Scythians. The Scythians were a mythical group almost because they were the ones that did everything horribly. Do you realize what this text says? Would you read this text with me? What does it say? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. Wow, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. As I say in your notes, these tend to be easier to see for an outsider. So friend, please look at me. I'm going to illustrate this. I do not trust your evaluation of us. Outsiders see things you don't see. Because after a point, no matter who you are, you check boxes. So here's my wife and I, our first trips to Scotland and England. And we would go to some of they have those big old church buildings every place. Church of Scotland, Church of England. They're both liberal, worthless. You go inside, all of them are built, as Christian services, which is what? Does anybody know? Do you know how they're built? They're all built the same. Long, you got a cross, and you got the front, correct? You walk in the back, and you walk up to the front, and what do you see? If you have eyes to see. Built into the church is the antithesis of the verses you just read, which says there's neither bond nor what? Meaning, social class should never enter into your mind. Amen. Well, you walk into the church, and in the back of the church are the poor pews, and as you walk forward, the pews get better, and when you get to the front, have you not seen this? When you get to the front of the church, they have boxes that have like little doors you walk in, and you walk in there, and it's a box. That's for the hooty-tooties. And they usually have pads. And that's, by the way, so when you went to church every single day, every time you ever went to church, you knew exactly who was important, and then you knew who wasn't important. In the church, direct disobedience to a holy God. And we built it into what? Oh, by the way, if you were really poor, you stood up. Or if there was a balcony, you stood in the balcony. Is that okay with you? Now I'm coming home to you. 1996, I walked into this church and repeatedly, over and over and over and over and over again, people said to me, this church is not friendly. And you know what I found? Nobody in the church thought that was true. and tonight when we go down and eat. So I'm going to say it to embarrass some people. You're going to demonstrate what I'm saying. The people in this church thought they were very friendly. And they were to each other. They're friends. And they felt friendly. The problem was anybody that was an outsider that didn't fit in the clique. Hello? I used to preach on this subject. Do you remember back in those days? I quit preaching on the subject because 2/3 of the people have either died, moved on, or some other place, and pretty much everybody's new. And the new folks kind of get to the opinion that maybe we should, on a Sunday, instead of hurrying out the door, the first thing we do is run for the hills because God knows I'm hungry and I got to have food. Some people actually take other people out to eat. I'm going to have a heart attack. He's not here tonight. I wish he was here. I'm saying this specifically for you. Sam and Oxah, they'll hear this. They listen to me tonight or tomorrow, whenever Christy puts it online. When they left here the first time and they moved to the Holy Land, Greenville, South Carolina, I gave them the name of 3 or 4 churches. And I told them, I warned them. I said, but Sam, do not expect friendly people. You say in the South? No, I didn't say how people felt. I didn't say, God bless y'all, praying for y'all. Bless your little heart. I'm talking about friendly. I said, Sam, this is how you'll know. Within 5 minutes of the service being over, the parking lot will be empty. Do you know Sam Augustine, or whatever his name is? Is it Augustine? Gelati. Still calling him the old name, Gelati. Sam called me from Greenville and said, Pastor, I will not tell you the name of the church. We went to church. Oh, by the way, they're not white. Uh-oh. He said within 5 minutes, that entire church was out of the parking lot. Do you know some of you can get out of this church before I even knew you were here? And other people say here, usually on Sunday morning, I have to turn the lights off. Sunday night, I have to say, I want to go to Lake County Baptist Church Part 2. Would you get out of here? But what about you? Look at me in the eyes. Hey, right here. What about you? When's the last time you actually did something more than smile at a visitor? And said, we'll take you out to eat today. Come over to our house. Come to Culver's, wherever. I'm asking you a question. When I came to Lake County Baptist, and it's still here, some people only talk to their group. And they do it every service, or by the time the sermon is still, they're out the door. It's an abomination to a holy God. Look at me. You have traditions that you didn't learn from Scripture. Hello? Hello? Where did you learn them from? And the answer is, I don't know. I'm not going to blame Pastor Hill, and I'm not going to blame Pastor Tice. I'm going to put the blame with you. I'm going to say that maybe your life is not as important. And yes, I wish some of our Southerners were here tonight, because I'm tired of the lies about this church. 75 to 80% of this church gets exactly what we're trying to do. And the rest never had anybody at their house. God knows I wouldn't do that. Never invited anybody out to eat. Never do anything. But I'm not traditional. You're bound up in your filthy little traditions. And by the way, what you do here is what you do at work. It's what you do every place. I would recommend this. Are we traditional? He said yes. He was talking about what? Apostolic and application. I think we have some unbiblical traditions too. What do you think? Let me ask you a question. Is it time for you to confess your... Or should we just continue doing what we've always done? And by the way, it's going to be obvious in 5 minutes. I already know. I know everybody that leaves before I get back there. Why? Is this not your family? By the way, friend, when I went to that church in Scotland, England, we've been to many of them, and I see the unbiblicalness built into the church, and then I walk into this church and say, we've been preaching against this for 24 years, and we're still doing it because we're busy. I say, we're not that busy. How about you? I'm going to ask you a question tonight. I'm not a get right with God preacher, but I think it's time some of us get right with God. What do you think? I want to say something. Sam, I think some people took you out to eat today. Sam, look up here. I already knew who they were before I found out, and I knew who they weren't. Shocking, isn't it? It's the same group that always takes people out. What about the rest of you? What about the rest of you? Let's pray. Father, forgive us. I don't want to be mean, but sometimes it's like,